you're in the 06010.
Welcome, everybody, to the Fantasy Focus CSS DFS podcast. The podcast is, of course, presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you listen to podcasts. I am your host this week, Mike Clay. With me, as always, is Al Zeidenfeld, and actually not a familiar face that you're hearing coming into the show, our good friend Daniel Dopp. A little bit under the weather this week, so he's at home resting. We're going to hold down the fort for 1 week. I'm sure Daniel will still get his lineup in there and try to take me down, which is not something he has done often this season, you know, but I won't pick on him too much this week since he's sidelined. But of course, you know, it's me and it's Al. How's it going out on the West Coast today?
Things are going good. It would be rude to pick on Daniel when he's not here. He can't even defend himself today. We got to send him some chicken soup via, like, you know, one of the delivery apps or something. But things are good over here. Just drafted a baseball team last night. You know, got kids baseball season. Yeah, I get to do like fantasy drafts, but for my kids' leagues.
Oh, right. That, okay. So that was yesterday?
Not like a major league fantasy baseball draft, but like an actual little league draft. We draft the teams.
So how'd it go?
I got a GPP team. It's good hitting, and we're going to have to put some pitching together.
All right. I like it. I'm intrigued to see how this goes. We need updates.
Yes.
Obviously, we're down to our last show or two, so we might have to get a full recap in the off season or next year. But I'm intrigued by this whole process because I remember that. I remember as a kid playing, you know, minor league and little league, and the coaches draft. You know, you go out, everybody hits a little, pitches a little, and they draft. And I was really small when I was young. I didn't like really grow until late high school into college. So I was, I played every sport, but I was picked last. You know, I was that kid. You know, I love sports. I understood it, a student of the game, but I just did not have the athleticism. So
the brain knew what to do, but it couldn't make the body parts fulfill its wants and needs.
Look, I knew I was writing letters to GMs and scouts and coaches as a kid. Like I already knew, I knew I love sports. I just knew I wasn't making it as a pro as much as I would have loved that. So the writing was always on the wall. But let's get into it here a little bit. Last week, the divisional round, what an incredible weekend of football, maybe the best ever, unbelievable. And it led to an explosion of fantasy production. I mean, there were four games and the winner of our contest, our free contest at DraftKings, M. Brent 3, put up 271.42. I mean, that's going to win you the milli occasionally, right? I mean,
that's insane on a four game slate.
Yeah, exactly. Crazy numbers. I mean, that's an off the wall number for sure. Daniel actually had a huge week. It's unfortunate he's here. Maybe it's good for me that he's not here because he would be gloating about this. He was sitting in the top 10 for a while. Our friend Scott Sheriff, I was as well. He's a big fan of the podcast. I talk to him often. He was hanging up there with Daniel as well. 191.52 for Daniel. I was at 144.06. I felt fine with that. I thought I did fine, but was still a decent score in our league, but there were some big time scores. So well done to M. Brand 3, to Daniel, to Scott, to everyone else who had a big week. Season standings, I'm up 12-8 over Daniel, 98.8. So I'm feeling comfortable for the season here with just 2 weeks to go. Of course, if you want to compete against us, you can do that in our free league over at DraftKings. It's free to enter with $200 in prizes. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike Clay NFL. You can follow Daniel at Daniel Dopp, and you can follow Al at Al Zeidenfeld. We always tweet it out or retweet. If we're feeling lazy, we'll retweet someone else's and get the info out there. You can hop in and join in on the fun. All right, Al, we have three games to go this season, excluding the Pro Bowl, but we're gonna break down three more games on the show. Two of them are this week in the AFC and NFC championship. So the sample of players is the lowest it's been all season long, but we still have some players who stand out, guys we want in our lineups. And I'll tell you what, and maybe this is a good place to start. It is very easy to set a loaded cash lineup this week. You know, I don't know how you feel about the tournament aspect, but from a cash standpoint, you go through and usually you're like, man, I need to punt in a few spots, like maybe three spots to get some good players in. Nope, not this week. You know, maybe here or there you would have spent down, but you could fit a bunch of superstars in your lineup.
I mean, you're going to have to find spots to spend down a little bit, but the pricing is very friendly again.
Right.
And we have one game where the total just keeps going up. It's like the stock market of over-unders in this Kansas City Bengals game, where it's opened at 50. It's now at like 54 and a half. It just keeps going up like a half a point every 12 hours. It's been amazing to watch. And you can fit a lot from that game. And then there's value from San Francisco and Los Angeles that you could use to make it all work. So, like, I think we're going to see a lot of overlap in tournaments because it is so easy to just plug and play the best pieces this week.
Mm-hmm. And who knows, we might even get more overtime action considering that all four games last week came down to the wire. So who knows? It's been a heck of a playoff so far, especially as mentioned last week. So let's get into some of those players. We'll start out, as always, with the quarterback position. And again, we only have four options here, but the guy that jumps out to me is Patrick Mahomes. You know, he's 7,400. He is the priciest quarterback. I get it, but I have him projected with five more points than the next closest quarterback. This guy has been unbelievable in the playoffs. Nine touchdowns and just a hair over 87 fantasy points in two playoff games.
Is that good?
That seems good. I've confirmed with the analytics, and they are confirmed as good. So he's been absolutely crushing it. He's obviously a slate breaker with his upside. He's been adding value with his legs. And, you know, it's not just the playoffs. He's at least two passing touchdowns in seven straight games. He's averaging 319 yards per game during that span. Obviously, that helps us get to the bonus at DraftKings. You know, he has been terrific as well, at least at the very minimum. Has had a high floor. Also, Bengals kind of mid-pack against quarterbacks this season, but they have allowed the sixth most passing yards to that position this year, or at least during the regular season. So you can throw on them at times. This is a pass-heavy offense. Mahomes has been playing A++ football in the playoffs. I'm willing to spend up and get him in my lineup.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. He's been fantastic. And like I said, you can get to him pretty easily. If you just say, you know what, I just want to pay up, I just want to get Mahomes, you can easily find your path to him this week.
Right. 100%. Now, if you don't want to go that route, right, you want to maybe pivot off of that. A lot of people are going to be on Mahomes. You know, the next guy online for me, you know, it's funny, actually, in terms of value, I have them ordered by salary, basically, right? I think the best play is Mahomes. The next most expensive quarterback is Joe Burrow. He's $800 less. I think he's the next most valuable. And then Stafford's the third guy I played. And then I would avoid Jimmy Garoppolo here against the Rams. But you seem to agree, because you want to talk a little bit here about Mr. Burrow.
I mean, I want to focus on that game in particular, right? So, like, efficiency matters, touchdowns matter when it comes to quarterbacks, not volume. We could very well get both from Joe Burrow. And it's coming off of two straight sub 20-point games, which followed two straight 37 and 41-point games to end the regular season. So Joe Burrow in a fantastic spot where we feel like the game script is going to be in his favor to have to throw the ball like 40 plus times against Kansas City. We talked about how insane that game was last week, where like Buffalo, Josh Allen put up 407 fantasy points. Don't fact check that. It's close though. Gabe Davis had like, this is for real, had like 25 DraftKings points in the final 2 minutes of the game. So with the cadre of weapons that Joe Burrow has at his disposal, if you feel the need to come down and find $800 more to come from Patrick Mahomes down to Joe Burrow, that allows you a little bit more to spend on one other guy. If you're saying, you know, I need to upgrade one or two of these spots and I need like $800 to do it, you can do it without punting all that much. Now, does Burrow have the same ceiling as Patrick Mahomes? Most definitely. But you're going to give up a couple points in raw projection, like that median projection. The one that you see on ESPN that Mike does such a great job with, that's the median projection. Their ceilings are very similar. They both have a 35 to 45-point ceiling. Joe Burrow, not as mobile a quarterback as Patrick Mahomes. I would grade him as maybe a pocket-plus quarterback, not really a mobile or a running quarterback. But he gives you a little bit of upside with his legs when they get around the goal line, you know, on a scramble, not a designed run. But the Bengals pass catching core does exactly what Kansas City has struggled to stop this season and struggled again last week to stop. This is going to be a good weather game. This is a perfect spot for this game to possibly go over that total, get you 60 or 70 real life points. And if it stays close, right, if it's if it's 42 to 38 or something along those lines, something ridiculous, right? Like last week's game, Patrick Mahomes is going to put up his numbers, but Joe Burrow is going to get his two at a lower percentage in tournaments. And as Mike said before, Stafford probably going to be at an even lower percentage because that game has a total that's 10 points lower, mm-hmm. although his team total is similar to Joe Burrow's.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, if you're looking at fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks this season, you know, there's only one team that has allowed a ton, and that's the Chiefs, mm-hmm. right? They've allowed the third most this season, the most over the final month of the season. So, you know, Burrow, and at least in that regard, has the best matchup. You know, he's going to have to throw in this game as they are underdogs. So I'm with you. And also, oh my goodness, the stacking opportunities.
Yep.
You have so many options. He's throwing to Joe Mixon a ton. Mm-hmm. So you could actually go that direction if you want to be a little contrarian. You know, you have Chase and Higgins, who I think we'll get to them soon, but they're two of the best values on the board. Mm-hmm. You could be a little, again, you want to pivot off that. Use Tyler Boyd, who hasn't been targeted much late. You know, if he is a big game, a lot of people will be scared off of him. And of course, you know, we'll get to CJ Uzama later. So just a lot of options here to stack with Burrow if you want to do that and come back with like a Tyreek or a Kelsey something. So many combinations that you can utilize with Joe Burrow. Al, I have a question for you. It's an important one.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the first time you've been asked this, so I'm sorry for catching you off guard, but do you own or rent your home?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you do. Okay. Well, you were prepared. Well done. You know, look, I bet it's hard work, and yeah, you know, I know it is because I'm a homeowner in the Northeast, and we have a big snowstorm coming this week, and it could be up to 2 feet. So we're prepping, and it is hard work. A lot of preparations to do, and maybe some work to do after that storm comes. But I'll tell you what, there are things that are easy, and I'm going to tell you what is easy: bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All right. Let's pivot over to the running back position here. And I want to talk about Cam Akers. He's the guy that stands out to me by far as the value play at running back. Look, there's four teams playing. One, two, three, four. Two games, two teams each. That's four. Somehow Cam Akers is the fifth priced running back. I mean, that doesn't even make sense to me for a guy that had 24 carries and three targets last week, played 80% of the snaps. He's priced below Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Jerick McKinnon, who are forming a committee in Kansas City. And also, of course, behind Joe Mixon and Elijah Mitchell. Now you can justify those two, but Edwards-Helaire and McKinnon doesn't make much sense. So that's why he stands out so much. Look, he has 41 carries during the playoffs. It's second most. He played 80% of the snaps, as mentioned last week, with, you know, 27 opportunities in that game. And it is a tough matchup. Don't get me wrong. You know, the 49ers have allowed 3.6 yards per carry and 4.8 yards per target to running backs this season. Those are both outstanding numbers, but they have allowed 15 touchdowns. It's mid-pack. And just last week, we saw, even with A.J. Dillon leaving that game, getting injured early in that game, Packers running backs combined for 195 yards and a touchdown in that game. So, look, I don't expect the most efficient game from Akers, but he certainly could get the 20-plus touches, maybe 25 if they're ahead throughout this game. We know he's involved in the passing game, and he's priced well below some of these other guys. So, even in a tough matchup, Al, I'm having a hard time passing on Akers at this price.
Yeah, he's going to be one of those values that I think is really fun to click. One, they're playing at home. They are favored. He has some involvement in the passing game. As you said, he has not been efficient. But, like, the guy had, like, Achilles repair surgery, like, 6 months mm-hmm. ago. Are we really expecting him? He's looked spry. It just hasn't turned out that way in the average yards per carry column, the yards after contact. But, like, he looks like he could go. He just hasn't been efficient. Or the Rams haven't been efficient on the ground.
Yeah, no question. And that was a really tough matchup last week, of course, mm-hmm. against Tampa Bay. So to get all of that volume against such a good run defense, I mean, yeah, it makes some sense. But when you get this much volume, you have a good chance to find the end zone, you get a handful of targets, you know, you're in good shape. So at this price point, I mean, yeah, can you get to 3X, 15 points? Absolutely. I have him at 15. He's actually the only guy I've projected at over 3X this week. So no doubt about it. Let's see. You're going Jerick McKinnon. You're going with one of those Chiefs back. So here's the thing. Last week, McKinnon got the usage, mm-hmm. the snaps, Edwards Helaire was the better player. That was his first game back from injury. Mm-hmm. My concern with McKinnon, at least from a cash standpoint, is that Edwards Helaire is still the guy. He showed it last week, and he's going to play more this week now that he's back closer to 100%. So what's the case here for McKinnon?
So as you mentioned last week, McKinnon played 50 snaps and CEH played 23. And McKinnon has 101 of the 147 Kansas City running back offensive snaps in the playoffs. Now, they've not used CEH was one of the best pass catching backs in college when he was at LSU. And then the Chiefs just don't use him as much in the passing game as we all suspected that they would when they drafted him. That's what we were drooling over after that NFL draft. Like, oh my God, can you imagine a pass catching back like this playing with Mahomes? And they just don't utilize him that way. Well, Jerick McKinnon, they are utilizing him in the way that we always wanted them to roll out CEH. So even if the snaps, I don't expect him to flip 100%, but if it's a 50-50 split here, now you have a situation where Jerick McKinnon has seen a ton of targets. And in DraftKings full PPR, and as much as I think that this game could very possibly shoot out, we do have touchdown upside with McKinnon, even though it may not come on a, you know, a goal line carry. They don't really do the goal line carry thing. They do a lot of, you know, windmill softball passes when they get inside the 5-yard line for Kansas mm-hmm. City. But like, there is touchdown upside here because they do project to score almost 5 touchdowns. So there's plenty of meat on the bone and a lot of work to go around. Consecutive games with at least 10 carries and 6 targets. And he has 11 catches on 13 targets for 135 yards and a touchdown during the playoffs. So great production for McKinnon. I would be shocked. NFL teams, the way that they operate typically is, look, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And right now this offense is flying with Jerick McKinnon getting touches within it. And I don't think that they're going to change that all of a sudden and shift gears in the AFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. And, you know, I talked about how Joe Burrow has the best matchup, at least, again, from a fantasy points allowed standpoint, looking mm-hmm. at the defenses. The Chiefs backs have the best matchup. The Bengals have the worst run defense, again, in terms of fantasy points allowed, 12th most on the season. If we adjust for usage again, so fantasy points over expected, they were 7th worst during the regular season. You know, whereas teams like, you know, we talked about Tampa Bay and the Rams, the 49ers, both of them. Actually, if you adjust for volume, the Rams and the 49ers actually were best against running backs during the regular season. So something to think about. There for sure. So definitely a lot of things to consider there, because you're thinking about the matchups, but also the price points. I mean, McKinnon and Akers are 4th and 5th in pricing, and we're pivoting to them. Actually, I do like Joe Mixon. He's the most expensive running back, but I still do like him here against the Chiefs, as we'll get to a little later, foreshadowing when we talk about our lineups. All right, Al, let's go to wide receivers here. Mm-hmm. Let's not knock to a couple of these guys. I'm actually, you know, I like, as mentioned before, I do like the Bengals wide receivers, both of them. I know you're going to talk about Chase in a second, but I want to talk about a value play, because this is one area where I'm willing to pay down a little bit, and it's still a decent player, and it's Byron Pringle here. Mm-hmm. One of the best values at wide receiver this week. He's 4,300 here against the Bengals. He's the 8th price wide receiver in this game. That includes, again, just, you know, we're only talking about 4 teams. He's the 8th price wide receiver, and he's essentially the number 2 receiver for the Chiefs. Now, I know a lot of people might think Mecole Hardman, but his snaps are down a ton in the second half, and Pringle has kind of taken over. He's primarily plays in the slot, and check out this usage: 7+ targets and 5+ catches in 4 of his last 5 games. During that span, 5 touchdowns, 15.4 fantasy points per game, and an 18% target share. I mean, an 18% target share in this high volume, mm-hmm. high scoring Chiefs offense. I mean, that's why he has, you know, 15 points and 5 touchdowns. I mean, he has been productive and the usage has been terrific. His role just continues to increase throughout the year. The Bengals, by the way, a mid pack against receivers, but they have about the 6th highest catch rate to the position, which is notable because, again, you have Pringle on the slot, a lot of short area targets, opportunities to rack up catches, maybe not a huge yardage total, but good catch numbers. And again, he has scored 5 touchdowns in his last 5 games. So I like Pringle at 4,300. It's an area where, again, you don't have to save a lot this week, but it is an area where you can save, and that allows you to get a bunch of stars into your lineup.
Yeah, I agree. Look, we had been talking early in the season, it's like Mecole Hardman just wasn't getting it done. And I was waiting for that pivot to Byron Pringle, and they made the pivot, and he's shined. Like, there's all the narratives, oh, he's too small, he can't do this, he can't. You put him on the field, and he performs in this offense, and I'm glad that they found their way there. And I don't know if I'm glad or not glad that DraftKings hadn't figured out that he's there, because he's 4,300, and I think he's going to be very popular this weekend for good reason.
Yeah, and Hardman more of a play in a tournament setting, right? Yes. If he has a long run, touchdown, something like that.
Total boomer bust guy.
100%. From a cash standpoint, I have him as the worst value among the top 12 receivers. You know, if you use our value sheet at ESPN Plus, which is there already, your best bets. Am I saying that?
Best buys. Every week we have to misname an article on this podcast. That's like our shtick at this point.
Yeah, best bets is on Daily Wager. That's what we do on Daily Wager. So, same concept. Your best buys article is up. Our value sheets are up, and you know, for wide receiver, I show everyone projected for at least 6 points or at a certain price point. And there's 12 wide receivers that fit the bill. The worst value there is Mecole Hardman at this point. So, anyway, I'm leaning Pringle there as my value play. Who do you like? I said it earlier. You like Ja'Marr Chase.
Have you heard of him?
What's the case for Chase?
Have you heard of Ja'Marr Chase?
I'll tell you what, before you get into it.
Yeah.
I mean, do wide receivers matter, Al? How about this? Cooper Kupp, Deebo Samuel, Tyreek Hill, Ja'Marr Chase, right? Four of the top, six scoring fantasy receivers this year?
Yeah.
All still active in the playoffs. Unbelievable.
I would love to go on a draft rant, but I can't. We don't have time. But like, honestly, in the draft, just everything is quarterback centric. Either pick a quarterback, pick somebody who helps your quarterback, or pick somebody who does not help the other team's quarterback. That's how teams should be drafting in the first and second rounds. But I digress. Ja'Marr Chase is somebody who definitely helps his quarterback, as we've seen a massive leap from Joe Burrow this year. Some of it attributed to Joe Burrow going to his second year in the offense, all those sorts of things. But also, when you add one of the best wide receiver prospects in the last 30 years, that's going to make good things happen. Remember when he couldn't catch the ball in preseason? That was a fun 2 weeks, wasn't it?
We got him a little cheaper in draft, so absolutely. Yeah,
it knocked down his ADP by a full round. So he's got one drop over his last six games. Now, the knock on Ja'Marr Chase from a DraftKings, from a daily fantasy standpoint, is that his volume has not been secure. It's yo-yoed, right? So last week, difficult matchup against Tennessee, six targets. Against Las Vegas, 12. Against Cleveland, 4. 12 against Kansas City, 10 against Baltimore, 4 against Denver. You don't know if you're going to get the 4-target Ja'Marr Chase, where you got to pray that he catches a long ball, or you get the 10-target Ja'Marr Chase, where you know he's going to absolutely smash. Well, I'm putting my chips on the 9-10-plus target Ja'Marr Chase this week. Clearly, obviously, an elimination game. A must-win situation where you're going to be underdogs in a positive game script for the passing game against a defense that is ill-equipped to stop the skill set and the route tree that he brings to the table. He's only 6,700 here, and he does everything that you'd want. I would expect them to get him involved early and often. The dropsies, that narrative, that's gone, so that's great. And the Chiefs allow 5.7 yards per catch after the reception this season, fourth worst in the league. And Ja'Marr Chase has averaged 10.5 yards after the catch five different times this season. Four of those came after Christmas Day. So he is a big-time performer, big boom-type player, big splash-type player on the big plays, but they're going to have to get him involved early and often. And based on the fact that I expect him to be trailing in the second half, if they're winning, it's because the passing game has done amazing things. If they're losing, the passing game is going to see more volume. All of those things reflect well on Ja'Marr Chase at 6,700. Honestly, just play everybody in the passing game from both of those teams.
No doubt. I'll tell you what, he really is interesting this week because he has already said he expects a lot of cover two from the Chiefs, and they weren't super heavy on that in the first meeting, and he absolutely crushed them in that game. Mm-hmm. Now, we did see an adjustment by the Chiefs in the fourth quarter of that game. We saw Tre'Varius Ward travel a little bit with Chase. I'm curious to see how the Chiefs go about this, because if they do that and they prioritize Chase, it sets up T. Higgins for a big game. And Kyle Soppy, of course, had a little note here. Higgins averaging 19.7 DraftKings points per game in their last four losses. Of course, they're underdogs here. And if, you know, the Chiefs do adjust like they did in the fourth quarter and play a lot of cover two and shade toward Chase, it could open up some lanes here for T. Higgins. So I actually, you know, in our value chart, I have Chase and Higgins as the best value plays at wide receiver. I think mm-hmm. they're a hair underpriced here. And that's the way it go. I like Tyreek Hill as well. I mentioned Byron Pringle. Cooper Kupp's interesting. I mean, you can never really go wrong with Cooper Kupp, but you know, he's at 8,800. And like I said, we have three other top six fantasy receivers priced between 67 and 7,200. Right. So,
And those players are in games with higher expected offensive totals. And like for people who forget, Mike just mentioned that against Kansas City in week 17, KC kind of changed their coverage in the fourth quarter. Well, they should have, because they gave up 266 yards and three touchdowns to Jamar Chase before that. I'm glad they made an adjustment.
Yeah, no doubt about it, but perhaps lesson learned. And, you know, if they, you know, like he even said, he expects more cover too. We'll see if they go that direction to try to keep him in check. Obviously, it's going to be a big part of them winning this game. That's why Chase was really the reason the Bengals won that game, right? Because mm-hmm. he just dominated. So, certainly going to be a matchup to watch. I'm one of the one of the most intriguing matchups of the week for sure. Mm-hmm. All right. While the final four teams battle to see who moves on to Super Bowl 56, you can battle for huge cash prizes at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. This week, new customers play free for millions with their first deposit. Do you have what it takes to pull off a conference championship victory? Daily fantasy football is simple. Just pick your lineup of NFL stars while staying under the salary cap and score enough points to bring home cash. And with a free shot at $1 million in total prizes, you'll feel the action of the conference championships like never before. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So here's the thing. Mm-hmm. This is what you're going to do. You're going to download the DraftKings app now. Fine. You're going to do that right now. Mm-hmm. You're going to use promo code FFF to play free for millions. That's right. Enter promo code FFF to get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. Get in the action for the conference championships only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Well done. All right. Well, let's wrap up our position rundown here and talk some tight ends here. And my value play, I feel like I've talked about him every week so far in the playoffs. It's CJ Uzama, just 3,400 here up against Kansas City. He is the fourth price tight end again there. You know, just one, two, I'm just counting. Hold on. One, two, three, four. Yes. Four teams playing this week. He is the fourth price tight end among the starters. He's nearly half the cost of top price Travis Kelce. And this is a guy that's been used a lot lately. Six plus targets in four straight games and six of the last seven. His, two playoff games so far, his receiving line, 13 catches on 14 targets, 135 yards, and a touchdown is at least 14 points in both of those games. The Chiefs have been doing a pretty nice job against tight ends as of late, but are mid-pack for the season. And again, just don't underestimate how much Uzama has been targeted. He is clearly well ahead of Tyler Boyd right now. You know, he's kind of pushing T. Higgins in terms of targets over the past month or so. So a lot of volume as of late. They've been going his direction quite a bit. And I'll tell you what, if the Chiefs do what Jamar Chase said, and they're in cover two a lot, Uzama could find his way to 5, 6, 7 targets again in this game. So I like him at 3,400.
Yeah, I don't think that you can go wrong there. I'm going to go with Tyler Higbee because you talked about CJ. So I'm going to talk about the other sub 4K guy, 3,700. We saw seven targets, a return to that type of market share that he got previously, right? So like in the first week of the playoffs against Arizona, only four targets, but like eight against San Francisco the last time they played, nine against Baltimore, six against Minnesota. So like similar target share for Tyler Higbee than that Uzama has. But no team allows a higher red zone completion rate than San Francisco at 66.7%. And in the playoffs so far, Higbee's run a route on 53 of 62 of the Rams' dropbacks. That's a stat that's extremely important to me because it's much easier to score fantasy points as a tight end when you're not pass blocking. Like, it's just when you're actually out in the route, you have a much better chance of catching passes, something that he did on like 50% of routes last season, and he has 6 targets in 5 of his past 6 games. And now there's upside here too, because like before it was just, well, you're going to get these low A-dot targets from Higbee. That's the way that they've deployed him this year. And they've given him some good red zone usage that maybe I'm wrong about this, Mike, but it seems like he should have more touchdowns based on his red zone usage than he scored this year. But and maybe I'm wrong about that. I could be way off. But like it just seems like he's always getting tackled on the 2 and then Cooper Kupp scores a short touchdown or the running backs just pound it in. But the last week, the last game, he had 2 deep targets against Tampa Bay. And he only had 1 during the first 18 weeks of the season. So, like, they did not utilize him down the field this year, but they did last week. So, maybe the times are a-changing, and they're going to take a couple shots down the seam with Tyler Higbee, something that he certainly has in his locker. If they do, you still get the solid floor of targets. You still get the touchdown upside with all the red zone usage that he's seen. And we have a big splash possibility if the playbook stays the same, the play calling stays the same as it was last week.
Yeah, there you go. And to your point, yes, he's a little...
Not like massive, but like he should have more touchdowns.
Yeah, he had 3... Well, I guess he has, what, 2 in the playoffs, right? He had 3 touchdowns during the regular season with an expected total of 4.8. Mm-hmm. So, you know, pretty close to that. You know, if we... Let's see, I'm trying to include the playoffs here as well. Let's see. Yeah, 5 touchdowns, 5.8 expected. Right. So he's kind of caught up a little in the playoffs.
He had 2 against San Francisco in week 18.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah. There you go. There's your answer. That's exactly right. So I'm with you. You know, in terms of valuing tight ends, I'm Uzama first, Higbee second, Kelsey third, Kittle fourth. That's the order that I would kind of prioritize them. But it depends how you construct your lineup. And speaking of which, it's time to look at our lineups. And Beard versus the Brain brought to you by Geico, whether you rent or own Geico. Makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. Now, we're not going to have the Beard Brain or the Beard lineup right now because, of course, Daniel's not on the show right now, but he'll set the lineup and we'll recap next week. But for now, we're going to do what, the Brain versus the what's something that starts with
B. I don't have any B letter. I'm wordled out. I can't think of any more words today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Wordle craze is something else. Yes. Definitely check that out. It's a little much on the Twitter timeline, but it is fun to play. So I'm enjoying that. But anyway, Beard versus the Smizzle for now. But you know, are you, the Brain versus the Smizzle. I have a beard.
It's just not like long and lustrous like Daniel's, but I have a beard.
There you go. There you go. We'll just stick with Beard versus the Brain and see how it goes. So anyway, my cash lineup, like I said, you could fit a ton of stars in this week. It's not hard to do. So we're looking for high floor. So here it is. Patrick Mahomes, a quarterback, a running back, Joe Mixon and Cam Akers. Wide receiver, we got Tyreek Hill, Deebo Samuel, T. Higgins and Byron Pringle. Tight end, C.J. Uzama. And I'm going, you could kind of pick whichever way you want to go, wherever you're comfortable at defense, but I can pay up for the Rams here. They're the most expensive at 3,200. I'm going to roll with them here. So really, really comfortable with that. Kind of came easy this week. I don't know if that's good or bad from a cash standpoint. It's hard to be upset with that.
Yeah. I went a slightly different route. Look, it's 2 games. So like how many different plays can you make? Neither of us is going to have Cooper Kupp this week. I went with Patrick Mahomes as well. I went with Jerick McKinnon and Cam Akers at running back. So I have a Ram in my lineup. And then I did exactly what I told you to do in the wide receiver portion of the show. Just play all the pass catchers from Kansas City and Cincinnati. Tyreek Hill, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, C.J. Uzama, and Travis Kelce. All of them are good. I like them. They all fit. It's weird. And then I went with the Rams defense because I'm assuming that the Rams are going to play from ahead in this game. You have to tell yourself a story a little bit with defense, because especially with that game, because if San Francisco's playing from ahead, they're not going to drop back. The last thing you want is to pick a defense that's going to be playing against a team that does not drop back. I think personally that the Rams win. If I'm wrong, this defense is not going to be the right play. But if they can force Jimmy G to drop back 30-plus times, he's been dying to throw a pick six. During the playoffs. So if the Rams play from ahead, I think that actually might materialize this weekend.
Yeah, I'm with you. Let me ask you a question, one more to wrap up the show. You're setting a tournament lineup, right? A lot of people listening are going to do that. And it's easy to set a kind of a conservative lineup like you and I just laid out, right? There's nobody there that's like completely off the radar. But to win the Millie this week, you probably are going to need one guy, right? Like, you're going to need one guy that really separates you, you would imagine. So is it, who's the guy, you know?
It was Gabriel Davis. Like, you're going to have the guy that's like 25 and down is low in a two game slate, right? 25% and down is a low number. I know that's weird to hear, but like the high players are going to be like 50 to 70%. And there's going to be a lot of them. Like, Mahomes is going to be really high. You're going to have to find different paths to kind of get there. So basically, don't play my lineup, because I think that my lineup is going to be like the most duped lineup in history on DraftKings, because it's so easy to just make that one. If you think that Matthew Stafford throws for 3 touchdowns and 330 this weekend, that might be your way to get there, because Cooper Kupp is going to come in at a lower number, and doubling him with maybe Odell Beckham Jr. or Higbee, if the touchdowns come through the air, is going to be the way to differentiate yourself if that Kansas City-Cincinnati game goes under the total. So, like, you'd need a few things to happen to go to your to go in your favor, but, like, there's ways to get different on this slate without, you know, be contrarian without being stupid.
Yeah, yeah. And I think if you want to look for a lottery ticket, a guy who catches a 30-yard touchdown and wins you the week without being too obvious, you know, we're not talking Beckham or even Van Jefferson. If you want to go deeper, you know, you're looking at Samaje Perine, maybe, you know, if Joe Mixon gets hurt or something, that could just change the game for sure. Kansas City, we mentioned Mecole Hardman, but I think he has enough name recognition that people will be on him. Maybe like a Noah Gray to score a touchdown would be an interesting lottery ticket. Not much for the Rams, maybe Sony Michel.
Like Tyler Boyd is going to be the lowest played Cincinnati pass catcher. Everybody's going to play Chase. Many people will pivot off Chase to get to Higgins. A lot of people are going to play CJ Uzomah because he's been really solid. But like, nobody's saying this week, you know what, I'm going to go play Tyler Boyd. So like,
100%.
It's possible Tyler Boyd takes a 6-yard slant, 60 yards to the house. That could happen.
Yeah, I'm with you. And again, especially if they're prioritizing the perimeter in cover two, this could be a Boyd game. So definitely keep an eye on them. And I'll throw one more at you. Jawan Jennings for San Francisco. Yeah, we didn't really talk about Brandon Ayuk. I don't love him at his price point. But Jawan Jennings could be a guy that out of nowhere scores 2 touchdowns. He's done it. And he's had big target shares in 3 of his last 5 games. So that's another.
He did it in week 18 against these Los Angeles Rams.
There you go. Absolutely. So again, you just, if you're trying to say, look, I'm going to put one guy in my tournament lineup, and if he goes off, you know, wow, you know, I'm set. You know, I'm going to have a guy that's super low roster. I think it's an important week for that to at least consider it in a tournament setting. So there's a few names and play snaps who can perhaps get that job done. So that's going to wrap it up. We appreciate everyone tuning in. Remember, if you want to compete against our lineups, it's a weekly contest with unlimited participants. It's free to enter. There are $200 in weekly prizes. We'll send out the link as we do every other week. You can sign up for our league and join the contest over at DraftKings.com. But that is a wrap for the Championship Fantasy Focus CSS DFS podcast. For Daniel Dopp, who's not with us today, we're hoping he gets healthy. And Daniel, we love you, man. We'll see you back for next week's show. Feel better, my friend. But for Al Zeidenfeld, for myself, Mike Clay, we appreciate all of you tuning in. And good luck this week. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.
He's a NASCAR guy with a base to try. A Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat, he's the one to blame. He's a brainiac on the case.